You're listening to Salon Frequency, a podcast for salon professionals that are revolutionizing the texture of salon culture. I am so excited to welcome you back. I am grateful for your presence. This week, though, it's a little bit different. We are going to be rewinding to episode 46, a powerful conversation about how to increase your income with retail. So if you've ever felt uncomfortable selling products or wondered how to build passive wealth behind the chair, this episode is a must listen. We talk about networking with purpose, using education as your bank for retail, which is a powerful just idea, and simple ways to turn no's into yeses, all without feeling salesy. I chose to bring this episode back around because as we gear up for season 7 of Salon Frequency, which is focusing on legacy and imagination, I'd like you to consider this. Your retail shelf isn't just a display. It's a reflection of your values, your influence, and your ability to create abundance beyond the chair. So if you're ready to rewind back to episode 46, let's tune in. Welcome to another episode. How you feeling, Frida?
I feel good. It was a nice day out yesterday here in DC.
Right.
I feel good. How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Spring has sprung.
And it has.
My allergies have been at bay so far, so I'm feeling real good.
Are you taking something for them, or you just...
I'm not.
Your body is...
Treat my body well.
Look at you.
I'm just like, my whole family is suffering.
This is...
My whole family... I'm just like, dang.
You out here just breathing easy.
Okay.
Just deep, clear breaths.
Y'all can eat water like me.
I love it. I love it. How was your weekend?
My weekend was amazing. I just came back from Atlanta.
How was it?
Went out there for some networking.
Okay.
That was a good time. It's always good to be in community.
Yeah.
I love that.
Everybody's in Atlanta, I feel like.
Everyone. And like, yeah. People in Atlanta say, don't move here. We're out of space. Like,
oh, I'm good. I have no interest. I never have. Because you know what? Atlanta is, to me, there's like Atlanta proper, which I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's like 3 blocks.
Yeah.
And then everything else is a country.
Yes.
And I'm not a country girl. I'm a city girl, Philadelphia born and raised, and I like the city. So I feel like DC gives me a good mix of like a balance of Philly
suburbs,
and New York,
yes,
kind of suburbs, yes, kind of city, where when I visit my family who's not in Atlanta proper, they're on the outside of Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'm always like, this is country.
It's real country.
We got to drive everywhere. Mm. The Piggly Wiggly, it's not the Piggly Wiggly, but it just, everything is so spread out. And I can get why that is appealing. It's just not appealing to me.
I feel like when I follow people on social media, I feel like a lot of the coaches and entrepreneurs
are
all in Atlanta, right? And so I'm just like, ooh, I want to be there. And then I get there and I'm just like, this is not internet Atlanta.
No.
It's not giving me that type of energy because I do forget it's in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like that is the South.
It is.
So yes.
The cost of living, I understand, is significantly lower.
Yeah.
Most places are significantly lower than the DC region.
It used to be. I feel like Atlanta is getting up there because everyone
is moving there.
Everyone's moving there. They've been featured on all those
like home best buying places for Black
exactly.
people to live.
I
mean, because
so
you get a beautiful house. You can get a huge, beautiful home. So I do love that about it. But I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good in the city.
I like it here.
Yeah.
It, being down there, and especially particularly the event that I was at, meeting like marketing folks, mm-hmm. meeting people that are in media, they talked a lot about how a lot of it exists in DC.
Yeah.
And so personally, I feel challenged to go find these spaces in DC mm-hmm. because that it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And I do believe, like you said, DC has a lot to offer.
Oh, for sure.
I haven't been making space for it. Like
it's here.
I need to. Yeah.
It is. I was invited to an event last week. I knew you were out of town, which is why I didn't even mention it. Even though when did you, I don't know what day you got back. Cause this
I was
on like Thursday
Tuesday,
night.
Tuesday to Thursday. So I was
yeah.
in and out.
But it was for like, Black, it was a pop-up.
Okay.
And it was for like, Black entrepreneurs and business owners. And it was a really cool event. I did not make it cause my babysitter was like, not feeling well.
So,
I know. I felt bad for her. I know it may not sound like it, but I really did.
Yeah.
I rolled my eyes and I was like, okay, you're not feeling well, but I didn't go. But my point is in saying that is it was another reminder that there are things happening in this city.
There are.
And sometimes we just, you just don't know about them.
Yeah. You gotta seek them out.
You do. And so I was like, the young lady who invited me, I was like, please don't, she's a mom. So she got it. Yeah. I was like, my babysitter is not feeling well.
Yeah.
Please don't stop. Don't, this is our first invitation. This is my first invitation from her. I said, please don't stop inviting me. Please tell me about stuff. And I said, the babysitter could not make it. And the family life was happening. And she's like, I get it. And I said, of course, another mother would get it. Because I don't know if she wasn't a mom, maybe or maybe not, she wouldn't have got it. But she was like, I get it 100%. It's fine.
Yeah.
So the opportunities are there. I think the networking events are there. It's just finding them.
When was your last like networking event that you actually attended?
Ooh. Not you coming at me with a trick question early, y'all. We just got here.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Off the top of my head, my last networking event, I don't remember.
We got to change that.
We do. And there has kind of been something somewhere in the... Look at that. It's my thinker. So I worked with a lawyer on a project a few months ago, and she invited me. She was not going, but she invited me to a small Women's History Month, small business, women's small business owners networking event, downtown DC, across from one of major entertainment venues. And that was not even 2 months ago. I forgot about it.
You don't play no games with your networking.
So, but wait, I'm going to tell you a quick story about this. I'm going to tell you a quick story. And I am going to name drop, not for ego, but because this is how networking works. And I'm going to give you all the quick and dirty. I'm at this event and I'm doing all the things and I'm charismatic and I'm talking and I'm listening to the speakers. There was a panel of women from a major credit card company. That's who was hosting the event. And then the other speakers was this one woman. She was in like Peace Corps. She ended up connecting with these women, I think, in Ghana. Next thing you know, she has this huge company where she's doing these products made with shea butter. They're in Whole Foods. She was amazing. Connected with her. The other women on the panelists were in leadership positions at nonprofits and other government organizations to support businesses, right? So I'm there. I'm doing the thing. It was a great event. I stuck to my diet. I just want to put that out there. Stuck to my diet, right? And so I had a goal to connect with at least two women, like real connections. So as I was leaving, there was a lady who rode up on the elevator with me. And as I was leaving, she was about to come back down. So I was like, I'm going to intentionally move slow so we can get on the elevator at the same time. Yeah. Right. That was how my brain was working. So the elevator comes and I'm like, oh, I guess we'll go down
here.
Funny seeing you here. I guess we'll go down together. So we go down. When I introduced myself on the way up, I told her my name was Frida. I don't remember what she said her name was, but she said I have a cat named Frida. And so on the way back down, I didn't remember introducing myself. And she was like, remember we met? I told you my cat's name. And I said, yeah, she have a cat named Frida. She said, well, actually, my cat's name was Frederick Douglass. And then Frederick Douglass got pregnant. And so then we realized Frederick Douglass was not a Frederick. And so we switched his name to Frida. So our cat's name is Frida. So Jocelyn, we're chopping up. I mean, we're only on like the third floor.
Yeah.
It's not that tall of a building. So we go down to the ground level. We're sitting outside. So we're still talking. Like this lady and I are vibing. We're talking about small businesses. We're talking about our struggles. We just connecting, right? Yeah. And so small world, because she tells me she's driving back to Philly that night. I tell her I'm from Philly. She tells me she went to high school here in DC, but then she moved to LA and some other stuff because she's in the music industry. Yeah. But then her husband is from Philly. So I'm telling her high school I went to. So we play that whole dance. And she went to the high school my husband went to. And so I'm like, maybe you knew my husband. You knew his homies. Such a small world. This is where it gets crazy. So finally, we're saying all this stuff. And so I say, what is your business?
Yeah.
Like, what brings you here? Because we never got to that. She says, I have a music group called Kindred the Family Soul.
That Kindred Family Soul.
I said, you better shut your mouth. You are Kindred?
What?
I said, please give me a few moments to fangirl, because your music was like the entire soundtrack to my wedding.
Oh, wow.
This is, so for those of you who are familiar with Kindred the Family Soul, it's a husband and a wife. This is the wife. I have been talking to this woman for about 30 minutes.
Oh,
and when I said, we were cracking, like before this, cracking up, talking about high schools And I was, you know, I joked and I was like, yeah, I'm from Philly, but I moved here for a little trim. And she was like, I'm from DC, but I moved. Like, where?
You never know who you're going to meet. That
is where I was going. You, like, we are chopping it up. And I'm just like, I need the fangirl. I said, I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to sing.
Not going to embarrass myself.
I'm not going to embarrass myself. I won't do it. I won't let you make me do it. You won't make me sing. So I'm not. I won't. But just need to go on record as saying I'm a fan. Anyway, my point is, it just was such a moment. Because I am genuinely a fan of her and her husband's work. I am still a fan of their work. I love, if you know anything about them, I think they have like 5 or 6 kids.
Yep.
They have this beautiful family. I'm not one of those people who are like relationship goals or couple goals. That's not my thing. But I can appreciate a beautiful Black couple,
yes,
right? And that much I believe that they are, at least how they present themselves to be. I appreciate them for that. I appreciate like the world and the life that they're creating for themselves and their family. But I would have never... My intention was just to connect with some people, right, and to just talk. And then
look at that. Look at that connection.
I'm out here with celebrities.
Okay.
Right? Like,
but yeah.
So that was my last networking event.
That, wow.
It was.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you went to a hair show recently too, right?
I did. Oh, see, that's my brain job. Thank you. Yes, I went to IBS, the International. I hate saying IBS because IBS. Oof. I went to the International Beauty Show in New York. That was like March 5th and 6th. So look at that, 2 events.
Look at that.
That I completely forgot about. How did I, you know what happens? And this is deeper than forgetting. This is why I have a hard time celebrating sometimes some of my wins.
Because
sometimes I don't even remember them.
Right.
I completely forgot that I was in New York for 2 days for a hair show. Went to IBS. I'm not, for those of you who are not familiar, International Beauty Show is a really, really large beauty show at the Jacob Javits Center in New York City. It has been going on for forever. It's for cosmetologists, licensed cosmetologists, cosmetology students, and estheticians. It's enormous. All of the big brands are there. Their focus is not specifically on Black hair.
Yeah,
just hair.
Cosmetology,
but
yeah.
But like so many things in the cosmetology, in the beauty industry, you get in where you fit in, and mm-hmm. you got to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
It was a great time. It was a quick turnaround. I got there Saturday evening and was there. No, I got there Sunday evening. And was there the entire day Monday for the show.
Okay.
And then I came back late Monday night.
Oh, wow.
Took some great classes on color. I took some business classes. I went with the team. They went as well. So they were, for some of them, some of my stylists who work with me, this was their first time going to a show. It was a good time.
Yeah.
It was a good time. And it's just also like as a mom and a wife, it was nice to just be away. But I'm also a little clingy, I realized, because...
You want to get back home?
I be wanting to get back home. I be on the phone with my husband, like a teenager, like, what you doing?
Oh.
Oh, what y'all... And then I'll be like, oh, y'all get on my nerves.
As soon as you get back.
As soon as I get back, I'll be like, I should have stayed an extra night just because. But while I'm there, I'm like, in the hotel by myself, yeah. Like, hey, I'm in this hotel by myself. It's weird. I got the deadbolt on. I'm like putting my suitcase in front of the door.
Legit, okay?
You know.
I don't play about hotels. Yeah. But
what about you?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Well, this weekend was networking for you.
This was networking, yes, at hotel. One of the things that I wanted to bring up as we like kind of, I don't get into the revolution of things.
Sure.
Within our industry and hair shows,
yeah,
and networking, particularly taking classes, doing things that build you up, build you and your team up.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you
mm-hmm.
about retailing. And I know you said your team went, you took some business classes.
Yeah.
How important has retail been for your business?
Okay.
Or for your team?
Hold that thought. Because if you've ever wondered how to cultivate stability beyond the chair, this part's for you. Would you believe I launched my first Shopify store after attending a beauty symposium where I asked the keynote speaker, what's one piece of advice you'd give a newly licensed cosmetologist? He said, have a product line. At the time, I didn't get it. And honestly, I wasn't that great at it. But I trusted the advice. Fast forward, that same Shopify store carried me through 2 pregnancies, maternity leave, and even the global shutdowns, all while maintaining and growing my income. So, when I tell you that partnership with Shopify isn't just a suggestion, It's a necessity. It's because it gives salon professionals like you real freedom as the industry keeps evolving, even in this new world of AI. So if you're ready to build your own income stream beyond the chair, visit shopify.salonfrequency.com for discounted pricing to begin your Shopify journey today. Now, let's get back to the episode.
So I think retail should be and has always been important to a salon as a whole. Mm-hmm. But for me specifically, retail just really became a thing in the past, I'm going to say 18 months,
maybe.
So retail was something I always knew I needed to focus on. It was never like, I don't need to worry about that. That's not a big deal. My clients can just go to the beauty supply store. Like, yeah. I always knew that I should be focused on it, but I never took the time to put the things in place to offer retail, like my sales and use tax license, mm-hmm. right? Like when we were talking earlier about, you can't know what you don't know. Sometimes you do know and you just don't do it.
Fair enough.
Right? Like sometimes we be knowing and we just don't be doing. And I knew that while I had had like some hair ties or bonnets in the past that I was selling, that if I really wanted to be legit, I needed to get my sales and use tax license.
Yes.
When I went to apply for it, something about it seemed confusing. And it probably wasn't in hindsight, but in that moment, maybe I had other stuff going on.
No,
I didn't
get
it.
It's confusing.
It is.
It's confusing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It wasn't just me. And so I just didn't. And then I got with a good accountant. This is the importance of having the right help, right? People who know what they're doing to support you for what you want to do. She applied for it for me.
Yeah.
And I paid for it.
Yep.
And it was done. And just like that, I'm out here placing wholesale orders.
Look at that.
For the stuff that I need. And it was really a game changer for many reasons. Chief among them is that my clients should be able to get what they need from my salon.
That part.
They should not have to go to another business, particularly the beauty supply store, which usually does not have their best interest
at all.
They just
down a whole thing about that.
And even if that beauty supply store has gotten something that is a good quality product, I forget the name of what it is called. Diversion? Is it called Diversion? When they are selling Crown Elements, and they're not authorized to sell it. So something, I forget the name of it, but something happens where sometimes there might be a product that they're not authorized to sell, but they've probably purchased it retail and they just marked it up and they're selling it, but they don't have an agreement with the company.
Yeah, I don't know what the technical term is, but
not the real thing.
That's a big thing.
That happens.
Supply products.
Yes.
That is a huge thing.
That
they can get the packaging because oftentimes they're in relationship with the people that are actually manufacturing it.
Right.
They can get the bottle and they just put whatever.
They put whatever in it. It's not always what you think.
Particularly at beauty supply stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want it to be the resource for my clients.
Yeah.
I wanted them to know that whatever you need for your hair, we can provide. And what I have learned is that if maybe I'm only providing a moisturizer and hair bands and bonnets.
Yeah.
And then there's that one day that someone says, thank you so much, but I've really been looking for a good herbal treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
Say less. We'll be placing an order for an herbal treatment next week.
I mean, like, it's the same. It's similar to like going to a store.
Yeah.
Or going to a restaurant. They're only going to stock and have the things that people are asking for, and the things that people want. But it improves the business.
Right. And so then we become a resource, not just for your specific hairdo, but we become a resource for your hairstyling needs.
Mm.
And so even if you're not using us to come and get your hair done, you know that we're the only ones that carry this particular brand because this brand only has relationships with salons.
Yeah.
They're not even in beauty supply stores.
Yeah.
From a revenue perspective, because I'm always, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
It don't make sense, okay?
It increases the bottom line, right? Because I'm marking it up probably, I think long gone are the days of marking it up like 50%. Like if you pay $10 for it, you sell it for $20. You got to do a little bit more than that because there's shipping, there's tax. There not necessarily might be tax, but there are all these other things. There's a package that you're putting it in. There's the labor for the person who's selling it to you. So it increased our revenue.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten to the point where I have specific goals for the team, but I am looking to turn retail into sort of an education bank where I say, you've sold X dollars in retail, you now have X dollars in your education bank.
Yeah.
So maybe if you have 500 in retail sales, you have 500 in a credit towards a class. Or I haven't worked out the numbers, but I think retail can absolutely be a game changer, especially when you really, really focus on it.
Yes.
What about you?
I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I graduated cosmetology school with the highest retail average. Okay. I've always sold product. Okay. I feel like a lot of, like, it was interesting being at cosmetology school and seeing my classmates be mad about, like, having to sell products, because they did put, you know, expectations on us. Yeah. Like, you go downstairs after you finish your guests, mm-hmm. you take them down to the retail area, yeah. you show them the products that you're using, and, like, you're expected to sell a particular amount.
Right.
While we're working for free, they're like, okay, and on top of us working for you, now you're getting money here. And I'm just like, y'all are thinking about this all wrong. You're missing the point. The point is practice.
Yeah.
School is practice. So when you get out here behind the chair,
yeah.
it is not like I got this product. You want it? Like, no, you're closing these sales. Yeah. Like, when they talk to me about how to make money without having to work,
yes,
that is where I'm trying to be at. It's like, yeah, I'm going to put this hand work on your head mm-hmm. and I'm going to do my technical skills. But if I can increase this ticket by just showing you
the product. And it's just like, you know, hey, this is a conditioner we use on your hair today. I'm not shoving it down your throat. I'm just reminding you what we use. And if you want to recreate these results at home, here are some options.
It's that part. But I think a lot of people think that's the only where I think that people believe that's where it starts and stops. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, I use this conditioner. You want to take it home. It's like, no, this conditioner will reduce the frizz in your hair. It'll let your style last you an extra 3 days. Mm-hmm. It's going to moisturize your hair to prevent you from having to use so much moisturizer. Mm-hmm. So that way you invest in this conditioner, you're saving on moisturizer, which saves you saving money throughout the month. It's just like, oh, so it's the product knowledge.
Yeah.
It's understanding what you're using.
Right.
And it's increasing your revenue for me. And I feel like a lot of stylists drop the ball when they don't put enough energy into retail, into understanding their products,
and
being that resource for their clients. And I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it. I'm just like, yo, you are working hard,
mm-hmm.
you're working so hard, and that's all you're taking home.
Yeah.
And then you're going out to then have to, I don't know, buy stuff for your kid and not have enough. And like, I got to pick up extra days. It's mm-hmm. like, girl, if you just sold the moisturizer you was using,
that would be it.
You 3x your sales.
Do you think that stylists are uncomfortable being salespeople?
Yes.
Yeah.
I honestly believe the issue is education.
Yeah.
Because again, like I said, people think, okay, I'm gonna have this condition. I'm saying, do you want to buy it? And they think it's just a sales mm-hmm. thing. But really it's an education thing, because if you know the conditioner,
right,
you know why you're using the conditioner and you're using quality products
that you first believe in. Yes. Not just selling anything.
Wouldn't it be a disservice for you not to give this to that person?
If you just dropped $600 on your color, and I am telling you why this particular combination of products will preserve your color so you don't have to get done as quickly, you might be more inclined to want to buy this product.
And if you have clients that are coming to you haphazardly, like mm-hmm. I know a lot of times in natural hair, which is one of the reasons why I got out of doing just loose natural hair, I can do my wash and go at home.
Yeah.
And so they only come to you every so often.
Yeah.
Imagine, and then usually when they come back to you, their hair's not in the best shape.
There you go. I like that.
But if you can offer them quality products,
right,
so that you're not starting from scratch, because we're using the trash that's at the beauty supply, wouldn't you like that for yourself?
It makes your job easier. It makes your job easier because even if they can't maintain the style, they can possibly, in some ways, maintain the integrity of their hair. So it's not feeling dry and brittle when they come back. And so now your work isn't as hard.
Yeah.
And then now they're not looking salty because you're like, this is the new total. And they're like, oh, why is it so much more? Well, we had to do this treatment, and you had to do a trim, you had to do a cut, all these things. And they're like, oh, this is crazy. These hair salons are always trying to, and it's like, I am giving you tools. So it's kind of like when you leave a mechanic and maybe they recommend a particular grade of gas.
Yeah.
Or when you get oil changes, it's like, don't use the lowest level oil when you get an oil change. Maybe step it up a notch. It'll make a difference in the long run when you don't have to replace your whole engine and your transmission because you've not been getting quality oil changes or you've not been using the right gas for your particular car, even though I'm a regular gas girl myself. I'm just going to say
across the board.
Across the board, I'm regular. But I think my cars be regular, so I don't know. But anyway,
I'm just saying, if you have premium hair, you feel like you got premium hair,
use premium products.
And you want premium care, use premium products.
Premium hair and premium care.
Okay.
It's a tagline.
It is.
I think that stylists are afraid of feeling salesy.
Yeah.
And as somebody who has a background in sales, does not bother me.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I am being a salesman. I feel like I'm offering you a solution to your problem. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whenever my phone rings and someone calls to sell me something, I'm annoyed because I don't want you to sell me something. I want you to offer me a solution to my problem.
Yes.
And even if I'm not interested in what you're offering, you were offering a solution.
Yeah.
And maybe I will be interested at some point. But just calling it just to say, just to feel salesy and almost like not to degrade a car salesman, but it feels like that.
Yeah.
You get such a reputation for being so cheesy. I'm not trying to be cheesy when I tell you that this is really the best product for your hair. And I know what is best and you really should take this into consideration. And then I think when people are told no,
yeah,
I think that's when people are like, see, that's why I don't do it because nobody wants to buy it. No, that's the narrative you're telling yourself. Yeah. Somebody wants to buy it.
And I feel like, again, going back to the practice of it, you're going to hear no.
You're supposed to hear no.
Especially as an entrepreneur. Yeah. Like, no is just part of the, like, experience.
Yeah.
But it's still having the courage to believe in yourself, to believe in the product that you're selling, believe in solutions that you offer, to say, hey, okay, maybe they don't understand it at the first visit, but they see you talking about it enough. Because more often than not, somebody needs to be asked more than once before they say yes.
Oh, for sure.
So it's very rare that you get a yes on the first go. Like, even think about someone trying to date you. That your last person that flirted with you, last date you went on.
Was not 100 years ago, but it was not an immediate. Actually, I think it was an immediate yes.
Oh, yes, man.
I was.
Easy. Yeah, my husband, I was like, I'm not going out with you.
Really? She's playing hard. Yeah. I say yes right away. But I probably low-key asked him too. So that's another episode. That's for another time. But I understand your point. Yeah. That sometimes people need to be asked more than once. They need to be presented with the solution more than once. There have been products that recently I purchased some, like accident insurance and like disability insurance, myself as well as a team. And the company that we went with, I know for a fact they've approached me before. Mm. And then just for whatever reason, it was not that I didn't think the quality of their product was there. My answer was just no.
Yeah.
And then a couple of months ago, somebody reached out and I was just like, okay, sure, whatever. We can meet. She caught me on the right day at the right time.
Right.
And then we sat and we talked only like 20 minutes. And I was like, oh,
I need this.
And I actually want you to talk to the team about this, right? It doesn't benefit me. She's not paying me for that.
Yeah.
So she came in a few weeks later, talked to the team, and we all were like, and I prefaced it with, I'm not getting paid for this.
Yeah.
She presented something to me that I think is a good solution, and I would like to present it to you all.
Yeah.
Listen for yourselves and decide for yourselves and for your family. And we move forward.
Yeah.
I said no the first one or two times that someone else came to me with that. The time was right. I had the information I needed. She presented it in a way that I was like, this could help me.
Yeah. It's a solution.
And now I purchased it.
Exactly.
I'm very happy.
So look at that. You might hear no. That can turn to a yes. Just persistence.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly believe retail is one of the game changers in the beauty industry for stylists specifically to allow them to take advantage of this $1 billion industry. Like, it's too many stylists that are complacent and content with just having enough above the poverty line. I want more. We want more for you.
And there's so much out there. Okay? There's so much out there.
So much. There's head wraps. It doesn't have to be products. There's hair ties. There's jewelry.
I just added earrings.
Earrings.
I literally retail earrings because what I noticed was oftentimes clients were commenting, and today it's just like a basic gold hoop, but comments were commenting like on the earrings that you have on, they would comment. And so once I had my sales in USACs, I was just going down the wholesale rabbit hole. I was like, I'll have 100 pieces of that. I have 30,000 units of that. And I was like, earrings.
Yeah.
Put the earrings out there. The earrings have been selling.
Yes.
And the funny thing about the earrings, unlike the product, the earring is just sitting on the shelf.
Yeah.
And so when they're checking out.
Hold that thought. Because if you've ever wondered how to cultivate stability beyond the chair, this part's for you. Would you believe I launched my first Shopify store after attending a beauty symposium where I asked the keynote speaker, what's one piece of advice you'd give a newly licensed cosmetologist? He said, have a product line. At the time, I didn't get it. And honestly, I wasn't that great at it. But I trusted the advice. Fast forward, that same Shopify store carried me through 2 pregnancies, maternity leave, and even the global shutdowns, all while maintaining and growing my income. So, when I tell you that partnership with Shopify isn't just a suggestion, it's a necessity. It's because it gives salon professionals like you real freedom as the industry keeps evolving, even in this new world of AI. So if you're ready to build your own income stream beyond the chair, visit shopify.salonfrequency.com for discounted pricing to begin your Shopify journey today. Now, let's get back to the episode.
That's a name for that. The things that get you right at the,
Yeah, like I don't know if it's product placement, but literally I'm not exaggerating. And it's not a hustle because they are cute earrings. I own some of the earrings. I went on Etsy, had these cute little custom made earring stands. I put them on there. There's like a, it's a whole display situation. The earrings literally just sit there.
And they just sell.
And they just sell. And I'm not doing anything crazy.
Except hitting purchase.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. And then if it doesn't work, okay, I pivot. Maybe I don't get earrings this time. Maybe I do something else. I do bonnets. I do head wraps. I've seen salons do hand lotions. I've seen them do with the little clips that women wear in their hair now, headbands. All of it is tied to beauty.
Yes. So exercise stuff. Like there's it's really understanding your client.
Right.
Listening to their lifestyle, the things that they talk about, the things that they have struggles finding or getting, and provide the solution.
That's it. I've worn shirts sometime from small businesses. And I've had a client say, where'd you get that shirt?
Yep.
I'll send the link and I'm like, I purchased my shirt. I purchased my hoodie. And it's not even my business. It's usually a small black business.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, let me reach. I did reach out to a retailer recently for a wholesale.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about this real quick. And there was a minimum investment of, I think, $1,000. And I had to say, that might be a little bit more than I can invest on the first purchase. So I'm trying to see if there's a way that we can make it work because there usually is a minimum investment from the business owner's perspective that the retailer may require of you, that the wholesaler may require of you. And sometimes that minimum investment might be $150. Yeah. Sometimes it might be $3,000.
Yeah.
So you got to decide what you can afford to retail. Because if the product sells for $70 a pop, then maybe you can't afford to retail that, but there is something that your client needs that you can afford to retail to them that is the easy thing to get, to access, and to sell to them.
Yeah, and then just watch the revenue go up and then use that to place your next order.
Right, for the $1,000 minimum.
For the bigger one.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, hey, that's how I did it. And like, that's the play. Run the play, y'all.
There you go.
Trying to tell you, okay?
Cheat code, right.
Cheat code. So as you... if we could encourage you,
yes,
to raise your frequency within the next 7 days, I would say learn a product. Pick a product that you believe in, learn it inside and out, and then reach out to see if you can retail it. See if you can offer that solution to your clients. And if you do locks, shameless plug, holler at Crown Elements, okay? How would you encourage them to raise
the frequency? I would say the same. I would find something that you're already using on your clients. Like, make it easy. You don't, there are, like, we talked about earrings and head wraps and things like that. Look at the stuff you're already using in the salon. Yeah. Look at the moisturizer sprays you're using. Look at the conditioners and the shampoos you're using. Look at the hair ties that you're using.
Look at the towels.
Right.
Yes.
And then just offer that. Like you don't have to recreate the play. You can start with the things that you actively use. Even if it means taking those and trying to find smaller size versions of that. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be the 8 ounce bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be the 4 or the 2 ounce bottle. Start with that. See how it goes. See how your clients respond. And if they don't respond, then look for something else. Don't stop with the first thing if you get a no.
Yeah. But also to add to that, challenge yourself. It's always a no if you don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So would you like to add this? Would you like to take this home? Didn't you like after you do their hair? Touch their hair.
Yeah.
How does your hair feel? Do you like that feeling?
Yes. Yeah, in the mirror. Mm-hmm.
I use this on your hair today. Make sure you take it home with you. Put that bug in the ear while you're doing the hair. So when you check them out, just say, oh yeah, didn't you want to add? Right.
Yes.
Okay. I thought.
Something I learned in cosmetology school, I think it was in cosmetology school, that the sale, because it is still a sale, starts at the shampoo bowl.
Yes. Absolutely.
So at the shampoo bowl. So today we're going to use a Crown Elements conditioning herbal treatment. Herbal treatment.
Yeah.
And here's why I love the Crown Elements herbal treatment, because it does this. It leaves this level of shine. The hair feels good. The hair is small. This is why I love it. I've been using this product for a while. The owner is local. She's amazing. This is not a commercial for Crown Elements, except it really is. And this is why I really think you would like it. We have some at the front desk. And then you keep it pushing.
Yeah.
It's a part of the conversation. It's not even like you pause and we went to commercial.
Okay.
There you go.
Challenge yourself. Increase your sales. Increase your ticket. Take some more money home to your family.
That part.
Okay. And thank you for listening. We appreciated you being here. If you heard anything that inspired you, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and review with what you plan to retail. We would love to hear about it. Would love to share it with everyone that is listening. And you can find us on socials at Salon Frequency. And
it's Frida Brown.
Bye.